Now, we're going to be thinking this morning about the cost of following Jesus, what it means to follow Jesus. And just to help us orientate ourselves to that question, we're just going to do a little activity together. For the purpose of this activity, we're going to split the room in half. So up past the clock, and then Tim, if you go that way, my friend, and that's great. So we'll have this half. And we're going to play The Price is Right. Now, I'm sorry about that title. I don't mean to be boastful in any way. If you're of a certain age, beneath a certain age, you probably will struggle to remember this as a television program. But I loved watching it with Mum and Dad and Beth. The Price is Right. So this is what's going to happen. You're going to see an item appear on the screen, and I want you to talk to the next person very quickly about how much you think it costs, okay? So let's have a go. Then I'll ask someone to represent each side, stick my hand, and we'll see who is the closest. So here's the first item. This is, I'm sorry about the pixelation on this. It's not very good. Here we go. Here comes the first. Okay, that's a 150-gram packet of Twiglets. Talk to the person next to you. How much is that in Tesco's at the moment? How much is that in Tesco's? 150 grams. It's quite big. Okay, would someone this side of the room like to help me out? Stick a hand up in the air if you're brave enough to offer a price. £1.89. Thank you, my friend. £1.89. £1 million, that's no good. £1. £1.50. So you're going to take the 50p and the £1. £1.50. £1.89. Very close. Let's have a look. £1.78. So, this side of the room. Very good. £1 mil. No, so what do we say? Oh, £1.89. Sorry. This side of the room. Sorry. Oh. So it's 1-1-0 to those on my right. Okay, here's the next item. Now, watch. An accurate watch. This could be very misleading. I'm trying to be a bit helpful. It's not the most expensive watch you'll ever buy. Have a quick talk. Okay, at the back there. £1. £5. £5. 15 and 25. Which one should we go for? 25. So we've got £5, the kind of pound shop watch you buy. £25. The art? £39.90. So it's 2-0. Right. Right, here comes the next one. Right. A Nikon camera. Okay, yes, here we go. Georgina, what were you shouting? £400. Georgina represents this side, and 300. Okay, 350. I'll take 300, 350, 400 this side, and the answer is 419. Good. 2-1. Excellent. Look at that. 6 cans of Win-A-Lot for your pet dog. Right, I'm going to select this time, folks. Okay, here we go. Someone from this section here. Suzanne. £3.50. £3.50. And how about someone... £3.10. £3.50. And the answer is... £2.00. Suzanne, do you own a dog? No, that was a non-dog owner, can I say. So that's it, 3-1. Now, come on, guys, this is to see if you can make it close. There is a Shrek chocolate-making factory, okay? So it plays games, it produces sweets, have a chat. It's 3-1. This is to see if we can make it close. Young man, £5.50, good call. And, yes, we... £20, and what did you say? £6.50, £20, and the answer is £16.90. So it was 3-2, that was very, very close. Now, just consider this, okay? You think about it there, we were playing a pleasant game, weren't we? It was good to kind of guess the price of something and to work out, okay, how much does it cost? And did you see how as a room,
of a couple of hundred people, how engaged we were in that question. And here is the big question of the morning. Are we as thoughtful and enthusiastic about thinking where we stand with Jesus? Are we following Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Do we give those questions about who Jesus is and what it means to follow him that same kind of thought and engagement? Do we think about it in our heads? Do we ask our mum and dads about it? Do we listen carefully to those who speak about Jesus and think, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And that's the question we're going to think about. If you've got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And we are about to see Jesus really lovingly and kindly making us think about the very question, what does it cost to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? If you've got a Bible, Luke chapter 14, page 1048, and I'm going to start to read from verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation, while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, so here is the question for the morning. And it'll come up on the screen now. What does it mean to follow Jesus? We're going to think about this question together for a little bit. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Large crowds of people were following Jesus. Jesus had been doing amazing things, and he'd been saying amazing things as well. And so as those crowds follow Jesus, wondering what he's going to do and what he's going to say next, we read that he turns around and says to the large crowd these words, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, yes, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Following Jesus means serving him as king. Let me explain what I mean by that. Do you see the last word on the screen there? The word disciple. In the time of the Lord Jesus, you used to have groups of people who would follow teachers. They would follow teachers around. The teachers had special names called rabbis, and they would follow those teachers around and listen to what they had to say, and they would learn from them. And that's what you had. You had these rabbis, and people would follow and learn from them as teachers. And Jesus is saying, look, if you want to follow me and learn from me, if you want to be my disciple, then you must treat me as king, as first in your life. The one before and beyond anyone else. I must come first. I must be king in your life. If you're going to learn from me, I'm going to be your teacher, you're going to be my disciple, my follower, I must be supreme first in your life. And you see how Jesus describes that in verse 26 there on the screen. He uses amazing language, doesn't he? He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters. What shocking language that Jesus uses there. He talks about hating these people. Now, Jesus is not actually asking us to hate those we love, our mums and dads, our husbands and wives. Jesus is using really extreme language to show that he must come so much first, so much before everyone else, that everyone else seems just like a distant second. Jesus is first. Our love for him, our following him, must be supreme and first in our lives. And here's the thing. When we follow Jesus in that way, we actually love our husbands and wives, our children, our mums and dads, as we were meant to. Jesus teaches us to love our mums and dads. He teaches us to love our husbands and wives, to put them first before ourselves, their needs before our needs. Jesus teaches us to love our children, to love our neighbor. But the way that we do that rightly, the way that we love people properly from the heart, is by putting Jesus first in our lives. Following Jesus means serving him as king. And you know what? When we fail to get that right, when we fail to follow Jesus supremely first in our lives, then actually our love for our mum and dad, and our love for our brother and sister, and our love for our husband and wife, and our mother and father, it is a love that fails. It is a love that actually is not a true love. Actually, we are obsessed with ourselves and our own loves and our own wants and our own desires. We will fail to love people as we should if we don't put Jesus first in our lives. So Jesus says, following me means serving me as king. Being a disciple of Jesus means he is first in our lives. We obey him in every way, even in those areas of life which we find really hard, which are a struggle. I am sure right now, because I know this in my life, that there are things right now that you will struggle with in following Jesus. As we read God's word, as we read the Bible, we'll know those passages in the Bible. We'll know those things that we read that we find actually very, very hard to put into practice. And Jesus is saying, he's turning to us this morning and saying, if you are going to be my disciple, if you are going to be a follower of mine, you must put me first. Jesus is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Jesus is Lord of all. We submit to him as king in every part of our lives, or he is not Lord at all. So that's the first thing Jesus says. Now, secondly, Jesus says this. Following Jesus means suffering for him as a servant. Maybe we don't speak about this in our churches when we meet like this as a group of people, as a church. Maybe we don't speak about this as much as we should, but Jesus certainly does. Look at what he says in the next verse. He says, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, what does Jesus mean when he speaks about the cross there? Well, he's speaking about this. When Jesus was alive 2,000 years ago, the Romans, who ruled the area that Jesus lived in, had a way of putting people to death. They used to hang them on a cross. And when someone had been sentenced to death on a cross, they would carry the crossbeam on their backs to the place where they would then be crucified. So they would walk with this crossbeam on their backs and carry it to the place where they were going to be put to death. And everyone who saw that person being carrying their cross knew what was going to happen to them. They knew that their life was over, that their life had finished. They knew the awful sentence that they were about to die. And also, that person had great shame. No one wanted to associate with that person. Everyone wanted to distance themselves from that person and the shame and the awfulness of what was about to happen. They were going to a cross to die. And Jesus says, if anyone would follow him, he must carry his cross. Now, Jesus doesn't mean physically carry a cross.
So what is he talking about? And this is what he means. Jesus means that it will not be easy following him. It will cost. It will be difficult. It won't be just an easy thing to do. This is why. Look at what we're saying next. It will include death to self and to the world. When Jesus speaks about carrying the cross, he is saying you have died to yourself, to your way of doing things, to your wants and desires. Now you want to live for Jesus, no longer for yourself. But not only have you died to yourself, you have also died to the world's way of doing things. So the way the rest of the world lives, who don't follow Jesus, the way the rest of the world lives is for themselves. We do what we want to do, and everyone fits in quite nicely doing that. We get along by being those who just live for themselves and the way that we want to do things, ignoring God. And Jesus says, as you follow me, you've not only died to yourself, but to the way the world lives as well. The world, for example, those around us, those in the playground, those in the office, those in the home, might think that those who have strength and power and who are assertive and who demand that their own way be followed, that's the right way to live. That is the way that you get on and you make your way in the world. Jesus teaches that meekness and gentleness, putting others before ourselves, considering others' needs as well as ourselves, is the way that we were made to live. Not for ourselves, but for God and the joy and love of other people. So Jesus says, look, you must be willing to carry your cross. Die to self, your way of doing things, and die to the way that others around us say we should do things. And you know what? That does cost, doesn't it? In the playground or in your bedroom or with mum and dad, when you want to do something, you know, it does cost to say, no, I'm following Jesus now. I love him. I'm going to follow his way. And even if that gets us into trouble, even if friends around us or work colleagues, some in our family might make fun of us, give us grief, might kind of make a joke of what we're doing, of what we're saying, we are still to count the cost of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Following Jesus means not only putting him as king, but means suffering for him as a servant, saying no to our way of living, no to the way the world lives, and being willing to stand for Jesus, even if we're made fun about it, even if we find ourselves in trouble, people give us a stick, people make fun for the way that we are living. So, Jesus, in love, is teaching us this morning about what it means to follow him. And now, with real humility, I've been really struck about it this week, he gives us two lovely pictures to get us thinking about that. So Jenny and Hugo are going to now come to the front and help me. And as we do that, let's just take a pause and stand and sing a song to the Lord Jesus, All Hail King Jesus, All Hail Emmanuel. This is a song that actually says in our hearts, Lord Jesus, we realize who you are and we want to follow you. We want to lay down our lives before you and do and follow all that you would have us say and do. So let's stand and sing a couple of times through this lovely chorus. Right, Jenny and Hugo, you come and sit over here. Now, Jesus, being as loving and as kind as he is, now gives us a couple of pictures to make us think about this question of following him. Am I ready, am I willing to make him king, supreme in my life, the one I'm going to love and obey, and am I going to be willing to suffer and follow him no matter what? So have a look at this next slide. We read here that Jesus, the way he does that, he says this, okay? Deciding to follow Jesus means understanding what is involved. So what I've just described to you now, we need to understand it. We need to understand what Jesus is saying so that we consider it and we can weigh it up. This is what Jesus says, verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. So, Hugo and Jenny, right? I have here
some £20 notes. Can I say, it was very difficult to print these off the computer this week. It seemed that it was just difficult to print money. Some websites were a little bit were trying to prohibit me from doing this task, but I managed to pull it off. There are some £20 notes, okay? There are some £10 notes, and there are some £5 notes, all right? And what we've got here is some green boxes, which are going to cost you £10 each, okay? Those cost you £10. These brown boxes cost you £20, all right? And this yellow box here costs you £5, okay? So you've got £20 for the brown boxes. You've got these green £10 each and £5. Have a quick chat together and work out if you have enough money. So add up the money you've got together while I talk to these guys and have a confab and see. You need to use all these boxes to build a tower that is higher than me, all right? Okay, so add up the money together and we'll see. So do you see what's happening there? Jenny, Anne, and Hugo understand what needs to be done. The tower needs to be built. They're looking at the money that they have now. They're talking about it right now. They're talking about adding up how much money. And they're working out, can we build the tower? Can we do it? And that is exactly what Jesus asks us to do. He says, this is who I am. I am the King of all creation. I am God. And if you follow me, I must be supreme in your life. I am the one who made you. I am the one who loves you. And he says, if you follow me, you must be willing to suffer for the fact that you follow me. You must be willing to lay down your life for me, even if it costs you a lot of grief. So how much money have we got?
Just enough.
We've got just enough. Yeah. Do you know how much, Hugo?
Not yet.
Not yet. So let's have a quick look. We've got £60 there. We've got £40 there. That's 100. And we've got 20 there, so 120. Now, how much is it going to cost for us to build the tower?
Well, about 110.
110. Let's have a quick look. 20, 40, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 115. So we've just got enough. Should we build the tower?
Yeah.
Do it. Okay, so let's go down here and stack the boxes. And now it's got to be taller than me, remember, Hugo, all right? Jenny, you help. Grab that one, sweet, and we'll put it on top. And good man, that's excellent. The other way as well. Right. Now grab the other boxes. So we think we've got enough money. Well, we have got enough money. And we've now using these materials to build the tower. Just stack them on top of each other. That's right. Keep going. Keep going. And the other one. And look at that. It's taller than me. So, very, very good. Well done, Jenny and Hugo. Come up and sit here. So, do you see what they did? They added up the money, they looked at the materials, they realized they could do it, and so they built the tower. That is what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to consider the cost of following Jesus. Are we willing to serve Jesus as King? Are we willing to trust Jesus as Savior? And are we willing to suffer for Him as servant? Remember that when Jesus calls us to do this, He has enabled us to do this because of Jesus' own death on the cross. The way that we are able to acknowledge that He's King, the way that we are able to follow Him, is because Jesus has laid down His life on the cross, taking our rebellion on Himself, taking God's judgment on Himself, so that all of us can find forgiveness through Jesus. We can have a new life in Jesus Christ through what He's done. So deciding to follow Jesus means understanding what is involved. But also, deciding to follow Jesus means understanding what will be gained and lost. You see, in this second little example now, Jesus just develops what He's saying a little bit. So have a look at verse 31. We read there that Jesus says, "Suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace." Now at this point, Jesus is just saying, look, once you've considered, am I willing to do it? Am I thinking about, okay, am I going to follow Jesus? Am I actually going to commit myself to do this? Jesus says, as you do that, just think about yourself, to yourselves, what will be gained and what will be lost in following Jesus Christ? Jesus is really helpful as he gets us to think, what are the pros and what are the cons? And he uses another brilliant example. So this time, Hugo and Jenny, imagine now, right, we've come to the top of our little mountain. There's the tower that we've made. And the three of us, okay, are a little army, all right? We'll call ourselves the Three Musketeers. And we're coming out to war. So we find ourselves at the top of this mountain, and we're going to take on this lot downstairs, all right? That's the army that we're going to fight. What do you think? Do you think we're going to be victorious in our war?
No.
No? Hugo is pretty... Have you had much Weetabix this morning, Hugo?
No.
No. Hugo hasn't had any Weetabix at all. I mean, you know, can you run quite quickly, Jenny?
No.
No. So we haven't had that much for breakfast. We can't run that fast. That does look a pretty fearsome army. So what's going to happen? Do you think we should... If we were fighting that lot down there, would we ask for peace? Do you think we can try and kind of make up with them?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should try and do that. Give Jenny and Hugo a round of applause. They've been really, really helpful. So what Jesus is saying there is when someone goes to fight, they actually weigh up, look, what's happening here? Am I going to be able to win this battle or not? What are the pros and cons? What's going to be gained and lost? And Jesus says when we think about following him, we should be doing exactly the same thing. If we decide not to follow Jesus, yes, we live our lives for ourselves. We just get on doing what we want to do, and we can enjoy the things that God has given us on our own terms. We can decide what is right and wrong. We're going to decide what's going to be enjoyable, what's not enjoyable, what we're going to allow, what we're not going to allow. And actually, we'll fit in with everyone else. So with the folks in our school, those in our family, those people around us in our neighborhood, we'll fit right in. But, Jesus says, consider what is lost. When we decide to live like that, the Bible calls it sin. When we live for ourselves, when we do what we want, one day we will stand before Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It won't be a small army coming in front of a massive army. It will be each one of us standing before Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus will come with eternal pleasures at his right hand forevermore. Jesus will come ushering in a new world and a new heavens and a new earth where we will be with him forever. That is what Jesus offers as we follow him as King, as we love him and put him first in our lives and are willing to suffer for that even. And if we haven't followed Jesus Christ, if we have turned away, even this morning as we weigh things up, if we decided to reject Jesus, do you know what? When we stand before Jesus, Jesus in judgment will reject us. And those aren't my words, they're the words of the Lord Jesus. If we haven't put Jesus first, if we haven't pleaded for forgiveness before him, if we haven't made him king of our lives, Jesus on that final day will say, I do not know you. You are not one of my disciples, and we will spend forever, the Bible uses the word eternity, apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus is really, really honest when he speaks about this. He calls that place hell. So, deciding to follow Jesus means understanding what will be gained and what will be lost. And are we realizing, are we aware of those realities? So, we're finished. Decisions, decisions. Look how Jesus ends his words here. He says, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is neither fit for the soil nor for the manure heap. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says, look, are you ready to lay down your lives, all that you have, all that you are, including your possessions? And then he uses this final picture about salt. And he says, look, salt, when it's effective, when it's actually acting as salt, is really productive. It works well. And he says, look, you know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You are following me. You are listening to me. You've heard my words. Are you going now to actually live as a follower of Jesus Christ? You might say it on a Sunday. You might have heard it a lot. You think about us this morning. We've come up really close to the words of Jesus. We've listened to what he's had to say. Are we actually going to follow Jesus Christ? You might have heard that from mum and dad many times, from this stage many, many times. You might have heard it in Sunday school, at Kids at Ken. You might have heard it preached from this platform for decades. Are we following Jesus Christ? Is he first in our lives, supreme in our hearts? Have we surrendered all to Jesus? Are we willing to follow him, even if it means suffering for him, dying to self and dying to the world? Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. These are the words of Jesus.